For those people who are following us remotely, we should be starting shortly. Thank you.
is this thing? Okay, if we can call the meeting to order. We have Kurt Pritz here and Carol Cornell to talk about the ICANN strategic plan. This is a session that builds upon the a number of community calls that have already been made. Kurt says he has some slides that he would like to present quickly and then open the floor to feedback and discussion. And Heidi said that you have received a copy of a document on the plan, and it looks like that. It's in your book with nice colored charts to make it easy for all of us to read. Yeah. And I turn the floor over to Kurt. Carol? Kurt.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me talk about ICANN's strategic plan. I was lucky enough to have a teleconference with many of you on previous occasions, one with the council, the at-large council, and second with Lac Rallo and Urallo. So we hope what we're presenting here reflects that. We took into account your comments during the previous meeting. To the extent they haven't, please flag them again. And we'd like you to review materials and the materials presented, and I'll present some of the changes that have been made, and you can review them, and then we can have questions and answers. So. Pretty straightforward. For those of you on the phone, what we've handed out here is a hard copy of ICANN's strategic plan. And, of course, that plan is posted. And, Heidi, is there a way to get the – does everybody have the link to where the strategic plan is posted? So we'll put up the link if you don't have ICANN's strategic plan at the ready. But – there was an announcement for it sometime during the past month, so you can always go to the ICANN webpage and look through the announcements on the right-hand side of the webpage and find it there.
Sorry, Kurt, I'm sorry to interrupt. Can you speak clearly in the microphone? Because apparently they do have problems with the sound, especially for remote users. Thank you. Sorry.
Thanks for the advice. There. So we're going to go through the slides. So who's the driver here? Heidi, are you driving or Matthias? So the first slide is really our agenda. And, boy, I should get on the what? Yeah, I know. I was going to get on the wiki, too, so I could read the comments because I can't really see them. But I'm briefly going to describe ICANN's planning cycle, as I did last time, but it's refined a little bit based on comment from our board. We've also, in meeting with the community members, including yourselves, we've not only changed the substance of the plan, but We're also changing some of the goals for the plan. That is the what the plan should include. And so this will require some additional amendment to the plan. So I wanted to show you what the new plan goals were to test your agreement and to see if you had any ideas for how the plan could be improved in a general way. Then the next topic of discussion will be where the plan has changed from last year in summary form. And then there's also been many changes to the plan already based on community input, so I wanted to highlight those. And then, the steps we're going to go through to get board approval. So that's the agenda. The next slide shows the ICANN planning cycle, which has recently been revamped to a certain extent. Our former planning cycle had two semicircles, 6 months of strategic planning and 6 months of operating planning and budgeting. And what we've learned is, not so much with strategic planning, but with operating planning, there really needs to be more time for discussion with the community that specific budget requests, and let's not call them budget requests, let's call them, outcome requests or requests for help to accomplish something. Those sorts of requests for ICANN to process them and plan for them really takes longer than a six-month budgeting planning cycle. So you have probably had telephone calls and meetings here about the operating and budgeting plan, which is earlier in our fiscal year than is usual. And the purpose for that is to get that whole process started sooner. And so this is meant then to demonstrate that the planning cycle is really built into three, a strategic plan, and then planning to develop an operating budget framework, and then a final budgeting plan. So it's meant to provide the community with more input into the budget, which is really where you get your resources, not in the strategic plan. But the strategic plan is very interesting for other aspects. What is the direction of ICANN? And that's why we're seeking your input. If you can take a look at the strategic plan, we're really I really want to point out a couple things. So the strategic plan's not up, so you got to look at your handout or on your computer. And the third page of the plan is what I would call the one page version of the plan. Lists in very short form ICANN's strategic objectives across its four main mission statement pillars. And I think we're pretty much familiar with them. Ensuring DNS stability, promoting competition and choice, excellence in ICANN operations, including the IANA function, and a healthy internet ecosystem. That last one really goes to an effective policymaking process through a multi-stakeholder, internationally based model. So those are the strategic objectives, and we really. How did that? That's not the right slide. Just go back to wherever we were. There you go. So that was a mystery slide. So then if you are to turn the page on the strategic plan, we get to where the prose is. And the first heading is DNS stability and security. And all I want to point out here is that the underlined sections, the strategic objectives really are in the third sets of paragraph where it says strategic objectives. And all the underlined pros that you see in the plan are changes based on community comment to date. So we had, ICANN staff had written a proposed version of a plan, and that language has been amended or sharpened or added. So the underlined sections of each section of the plan that follow are really the additions due to community-based input. So I just want to show you that, not for, just from a form standpoint, in order to demonstrate that already there have been substantial changes to the plan. So what are those? Well, let's go to the next slide. So how do we want to take this plan and even make it better? Where'd that slide go? Okay. So how do we want to make it better? So we're seeking to reorganize the objectives. If you look at the strategic plan, some aspects of it are really broad, you know, to improve or ensure DNS uptime. And ICANN doesn't control the DNS. We have our own limited areas of control. But we've got some more specific objectives. So we have some more specific objectives where we do have very specific control, like increased contractual compliance. So the strategic plan is a mixture of those lofty goals where ICANN has some influence but not control, and other areas where we have control. So we're going to seek to reorganize all the bullets in the plan to distinguish areas where ICANN has control versus influence. The current version of the plan kind of commingles them, and then be very clear about our levels of engagement. So sometimes we have a contract with an entity to actually affect a change, and sometimes we just have, you know, what I would call the bully pulpit, or, you know, a platform from which to speak and encourage change. So we're going to reorganize the plan in those regards, and then we're going to include some more measurable objectives, some more clear definition of desired outcomes. One example might be DNSSEC, where we do have a stated goal of the number of TLDs that will sign their zone by the end of some time period. So we're going to aspire to be more clear about the desired outcomes and establish a method for evaluating those outcomes. So when you're thinking about your comments to the plan, either now or in written form later, please think about these objectives, because we're looking to change the plan in these ways. So how has the plan changed in recent history? Well, since last fiscal year, ICANN and its community actually got some things done. And so there's changes to the plan in that regard. So, for example, and we've talked about these things on our last call, but our last plan focused on signing the root zone. Well, it's signed, so now we're going to focus on DNSSEC adoption by TLDs, as I said. And in the last plan, we proposed that a DNS CERT, which is an emergency response team that ICANN might coordinate, was proposed as one of the solutions to enhance DNS security. You know, clearly the community has said, we don't know if that's one of the solutions or not. You just need to support a broad community discussion on DNS stability. DNS CERT might be one of those solutions. So you see a change in the plan that way. With regard to consumer choice and enhanced competition, last year's plan focused on the delegation of IDNs. This year's plan, now that IDNs are being delegated, focuses on making IDNs work better in all situations. So implementation of the protocol down through the application layer and the like. There's the addition, there's more discussion this year about protection of registrants through RAA amendments, registrar GTLD, registrar accreditation amendments, and a registrant's right charter. And also focuses on communication of all these things to users so that, you know, the global community is aware of them. For example, the new GTLD program has attached to it a global communications plan. Other updates to the plan. Under the pillar of core operations and making ICANN internal operations excellent. You know, the updates to the plan this year is ICANN has instituted a number of self-help mechanisms, you know, internal operational excellence initiatives, one targeted specifically at IANA, and then an organizational effectiveness initiative to provide for continual improvement across the company. And then there's a new focus on finally implementing and launching IANA automation. And then with regard to the healthy internet ecosystem, including our policy development support, you know, there's a new initiative for the GNSO to improve its policy development process. ICANN seeks to increase participation and engagement with especially the technical community. So the IETF, the root servers, you know, practically engage with them and start a better collaboration. And also with forums where internet governance discussions take place, such as the IGF and the OECD. And then, again, to improve communications and accessibility, one of those will be through reorganization of the ICANN website. So you'll see that effort is ongoing, and any input you have into how to improve the website, because everybody has an idea, right? We all do, although we all agree it's hard to get around. ICANN will be looking for suggestions there. So what's changed in response to the community input on the plan? Well, regarding stability and security, there were very many specific suggestions. And really using, and I just described this some, but really using our stakeholder relationships, particularly with the technical community, where we don't really do a good job of liaising with, the IETF and the root server operators, to accomplish these things here. So we're trying to make the plan more specific and more objective, and therefore deliver plans for stable LRoot operations. You know, ICANN operates the LRoot, to publish business continuity planning. So you might have seen some of that in line with the new GTLD process and transition of registrars, to facilitate the adoption of IPv6 and DNSSEC. We talked about that, and work with the community to address internet security. So these were all pretty much word changes to the pros of the plan, and ensure that those specific objectives were put in there. And then with regard to consumer choice and enhancing competition, a key change was increasing registrar regional diversity. So especially with the IDN program being implemented and the potential implementation of new GTLDs, that the goals of those programs are to increase regional participation in, becoming a registry, becoming a registrar, or being able to take advantage of the new services and opportunities offered by new GTLDs and registrars in people's own area. And then something we used to do that we're putting back is, you know, partnering with ISOC and others to provide training for those who want it, new CCTLD operators or new GTLD operators. And then finally, the last set of changes we have to the plan are have to do with core operations. So focus on the IANA contract renewal. I think everyone knows that ICANN performs the IANA contract through a contract with the U.S. government, and that that contract's up for renewal next year. And we plan to get a contract renewal and continue performing those operations in an excellent manner. There's a specific request to model our operational excellence operations after EFQM, which is that European? I think so, right? Which is, you know, there's an American version of it that I'm familiar with, a continuous improvement, but model our efforts after that. If you know Deming, what's that? Is it Edward Deming? What's Deming's, what? No. So that's okay. We want to enhance measurements, so make things more objective. We want to improve the PDP process from a staff support point. And then, boy, this is a recurring theme, but strengthen our strategic relationships with the technical community. And then with regard to policy development support and the multi-stakeholder model, also known as the internet ecosystem, you know, we want to maintain DNS uptime and, you know, maintain the existence of a single operable internet, you know, one of those things where we don't have control, but we might have influence. But we do have control over enhancing the multi-stakeholder bottom-up model and working towards increasing participation through groups such as this one. Improving the website, but you don't just improve the website as the end, right? It's a means to an end. And so we want to enhance informational tools and content. And then finally, increase our participation and collaboration in all these forums that discuss internet governance. And to a certain extent, ICANN's existence as a model is tied to those discussions. So I'm going to come back to these slides in a minute. I just want to take 1 minute and say, so what's the path home from here? We're going to continue having these consultations. They've been really good. And you know, you sit in a room with a bunch of people and write the plan and stare at it for days, and then you take it out and get a fresh set of eyes on it, and it's really helpful. Finish these consultations. We'll repost the plan for public comment and submit it to the board for approval. So in the next, the next board meeting or the meeting thereafter that, we want to, we're not looking to markedly change the plan. We do not want to shortcut the community consultation process. So that's kind of the end of my presentation, and I guess I went on too long, but what we could do is go back to this, you know, a couple slides ago that talk about, update. Yeah, can we go, keep going, go forward? No, you're going the wrong way now. Okay, one more. There you go. So what's over on the left? Yeah. So, thank you. So, so I'll take comments. You know, I would take comments first on either the gestalt of the whole plan or specifically on items concerning DNS stability and security or competition and choice.
A quick question, Kurt. You had a reference to PDP improvement. Is that the ongoing GNSO team or something else?
Yes, that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Bo?
I think it may have been on a previous slide, but there was a mention in this presentation about, I forget the exact terms, but responsibility versus influence. In other words, what can ICANN actually do versus what it can, you know, use its bully pulpit to do or whatever. Can you give us a clearer interpretation for the user community as to what ICANN is actually able to do in light of some questions that the at-large has been getting from the user community that they don't believe ICANN believes that it has authority to enforce contracts?
Hi, Bo. How you doing?
Hi, Kurt. I didn't mean to be I was having a thought there, and, you know, I forgot to be nice. Sorry.
I'm good at that. So I think there's three ways ICANN works, right? In some instances, it has control, and I think it does have control where it has agreements or where it does have authority to perform the IANA function or where it does work with the community to develop policy and then implement that policy. So ICANN, either the board or an advisory committee or a supporting organization can initiate a PDP and affect change that way. So in those areas, I think ICANN has a significant amount of control. There are other areas where ICANN does not have control but has significant influence. So I think that CCTLDs and GTLDs that adopt or sign their zone, you know, I think ICANN has a lot of influential power there. They can, if a CCTLD needs help to, you know, technical help or something like that to get the zone signed, we can provide that. We can bring influence to bear to help convince TLDs to sign their zone. We could amend the registry agreement in the case of a GTLD. So those are instances where we have sort of a medium amount. You know, we can really affect change even though we don't have authority. We can take responsibility. And then there's areas where we have no control and less influence. So, for example, a goal in last year's plan is 100 DNS uptime. Well, the DNS, you know, it can be broadly interpreted, and, you know, ICANN has little control over that. But we can promote security and stability. We can do training. We can do some other things. So I would grade those as the three types of control and influence that ICANN has. And the plan, what that bullet says, the plan should make that clear. So that's kind of the answer to the first part of your question. The answer to the second part, so, you know, I want to understand more about ICANN. You know, ICANN clearly thinks it can enforce its agreements. So, you know, I'd want to have a continued discussion or get a response question from you if you want to do that, if you have a specific instance in mind.
Yeah, maybe I can send you an email or something with specific names, but it just there have been repeated examples, and this may have something to do with the fact that there's apparently 3 job vacancies in the compliance department at the moment, just that there seem to be numerous examples of registrars behaving and acting in what appears to be non-compliance with the RAA, and ICANN not doing anything about it. And I can give you some actual names, but I'll just email them or something.
Yeah, I think the really interesting discussion is about what, you know, what authority is in the contract and what ICANN can do. And so I understand that there's 3 positions open, and ICANN is not only planning to fill those positions, it's planning to, you know, implement new GTLDs and staff a compliance department that's adequate for that, and there's a plan for that. But if you look at statistics, you know, the number of registrar deaccreditations or non-renewals, the amount of enforcement notices sent out, or the amount of breach notices sent out, you know, it's always on the increase.
Anybody else? Can't believe there aren't any. Eric.
Hi, Kurt. This is my first time on this side of the pond. I'm pleased to see the DNS cert taken off the list, and I want to commend the effort of funding work with Network Research Resource Startup Center and ISOC in the basic registry operations class and the advanced registry operations classes that have been held in Guatemala recently, in Mali recently, and I assume will continue for the foreseeable future as competency is developed in operators regionally, which are outside of North America and Europe. So I really commend that as a good choice of resource allocation that moves skills to the periphery rather than the DNS cert proposal, which moved skills to the center, possibly without any real use. I'm puzzled by the attempt by the references made to increase the involvement of the technical community, because in 2002 we had a functioning protocol supporting organization that was in the November or December of that year was ceased to exist, and we have a current review of the technical liaison function, which the initial report was fairly critical of its continued existence and proposed, amongst several proposals, ending the TLG as an entity which provides non-voting seats from the technical community on the board. And, of course, the previous PSO put voting seats on the board, and there is a significant difference institutionally between voting seats and non-voting seats, between veto power and persuasive power. So I'm curious how this is going to work out, that we will have increased relations with the, you mentioned the IETF, but presumably with the broad envelope that we used to call the PSO of technical organizations, including the IETF and possibly the W3C and possibly others. That's really all the comments I had. Thank you.
So I think, yeah. So the objective to increase our interaction or effective interaction with the technical community, and specifically the IETF and root server operators, came out of actually two events, two or three. One is having to do with IDNs. The IDNA protocol and how staff work with the IETF on that, and then with the variant management discussion, where the IETF has said, you know, we're not really considering any issues with variants because you haven't given us a problem, and so our board has taken that, recognized that as really. Staff not effectively participating in the IETF and raising issues there in the form of solvable problems. And so I think ICANN's getting better. We have Joe Abley now who works in that realm. But, you know, there's a couple instances where solutions could be developed faster if staff reached out and did a better job. The other instance had to do with the root server operators and root scaling, where you know, ICANN is you know, churning away making new GTLD plans, and while that information is available for the root server operators so they could anticipate it, there was no real interaction between the two groups so they could plan for the, you know, the timing, the number of delegations, the delegation rate, and so, you know, we a briefing was given to RSAC, but really that's not complete, and really there needs to be more of a cooperative relationship. So the goals there, so half of your comment, I think the goals in the plan sprung from those two events where, you know, board members and others say, you know, get off your butt and go interact, and what you're describing, the report that recommends that. That board liaison role be abolished. I think, you know, that came from something else. And I'm not up on that, so I don't really know all the reasoning, but there had to be some recognition that what we're trying to achieve with the TLG role wasn't really working, bearing fruit. Go find something else to do. Just don't eliminate something and say, well, we give up. So I don't know what the future of that recommendation is, but, I think it too comes from the report anyway, saying it wasn't an effective tool for accomplishing the sorts of things that you're talking about accomplish. So go find another way.
Dev,
go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. I noticed in the presentation, I see that the word translations was included in the revised draft strategic plan after the consultations. Care to expand on what that regarding the translations?
So no. So we wanted to flag that, and the way it's put in the plan now is, make translations more effective. Theoretically, that could be more or less, right? So I think what we're talking about is making that the input we're looking for, and how we want to modify the plan from here is making that more of a measurable objective. So what could be some goals? And I'd really like to tie it to something other than a number or frequency, but, what's our goal? Because, there's translations and they cost money, so we want to really do them in a way that gives us the most good. So is there a way to formulate an objective that really, could be increasing the investment on translation, but also making that an investment as effective as it can be? So if it's not easy, or else who would have wrote it more better. But if you could give some thought to how that objective could be rewritten so it's measurable and comes to improvement.
Thank you, Hong.
Thank you, Alan. Well, Chris, I hope you don't mind if I ask a very specific question. We all agree that ICANN public meetings are very important for the community building, for the healthy ecosystem, and for policy making and discussions. Otherwise, ICANN won't have these meetings in different regions. I'm not sure whether you talk about this issue with my colleague in European RELO, but as you may have kind of aware, that there will be an ICANN meeting in June 2011 in Asia Pacific region. So my question is that when you make strategic plan for an ICANN meeting in certain region, whether you think about to facilitate the regional need, such as the regional and large organizations need to have the parallel events by using the platform of ICANN meeting. The thing is, we only have 6 months to go for this one in Asia. I'm quite keen to hear from you about any planning or strategic thinking about this, right? Because the European colleague has raised the issue. That's 18 months ahead of the time, because there will be a European ICANN meeting in 2012, and they raised this issue already. I guess we are running out of the time. So
there's two aspects to that. One is the strategic aspect. What are we trying to accomplish with that meeting? And I think that's pretty easy to write down. There are a lot of benefits that would accrue from having such a meeting. So in the plan, if we want to regularly build on existing ICANN meetings in order to have other, other at-large meetings, we want to build that into our strategy. So it regularly and normally becomes part of the operating plan. So it's sort of not a last-minute thing, because it's a strategic objective. And then, I can say, now we're starting. I don't know if you've met with Kevin and Akram and Juan yet. The Wednesday you're going to talk about budgeting. So you're going to talk about with them, what's next fiscal year? The 2011? 12. Oh, holy smokes. So the 2011-2012 operating plan, you're going to want to discuss making sure that you've got your input. You're going to have a specific opportunity to input into that plan for 2011-2012, which leaves us with what are we going to do in 6 months, right? So what? You're shaking your head. So I can't speak to what's in the ICANN budget or what's planned for the meeting in Asia. And does ALAC have a specific, or the at-large have a specific plan for that?
At-large has a strategic plan.
Right.
But the issue is that it should be planned into ICANN's overall picture.
Yes.
And now it's very much ad hoc. So right. what I'm thinking is that it should be more strategically planned.
I agree. So that's right. So we want to build that into the strategic plan. So normally it becomes part of the operating plan cycle. Right. So we want to write an objective into the strategic plan for that.
Olivier?
Thank you, Alan. If I may add, work team C in the at-large improvements is actually looking at this and looking at closer cooperation between ICANN strategic plan and also the ALAC strategic plan. That's one of the reasons actually why Kurt was very kind to actually give us a presentation as well. I do have one question for Kurt. The presentation we have here is different from the one that you did earlier, and I wondered whether we would be able to have a copy of that as well, please. Thank you.
Anything else? 9 more minutes. We could finish early. Kurt, I think you need to be complimented if no one is irate and wants to yell and scream at you.
Well, let's see if we take the input from you and get it into the plan, and then then we'll test whether I get yelled at and screamed.
It's a deal.
But, yeah, I think the input is good. And actually, you know, especially with regard to a translation objective and with regard to writing an objective for at-large meeting planning as part of the annual planning cycle would be good if you could suggest how to write that.
Olivier?
Thank you, Alan. Just one question, and I might have missed the slide, with regards to outreach, whether at-large is part of the core strategy of ICANN for outreach. Is that now linked into the plan?
So here's what it says now that was added. That says, starting with the new board seat representing the at-large community, we will also work to formalize input from the at-large community into board discussions. So that was the comment about, you know, the GAC, the comparison with the GAC, right?
Right. Is there a time scale for this? Have you put a roadmap on that, or is this the next 3 years?
So that's exactly – so, well, Carol's going to write that down, but that's exactly how we want to try to make these objectives more measurable by putting some time scale in there.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
Thank you. Evan?
Just one comment, and it's a positive, and it's a note of thanks for having put in the registrant rights charter into the community work section. Does this mean that there will actually be some resources available to help make that happen?
Yes, I think there are policy development support resources already helping on this. I think what the addition of this will accomplish at the end, you know, what goes in here, you know, filters down and gets into everybody's work goals. So we can hold up a banner at the end of the year and say success. So by formally including it here, what that'll mean is there'll be certain staff members at ICANN, and that'll be their work goal to accomplish that.
Great, thanks.
Anyone else? Last call.
So I just want to thank everybody. Thank you, guys. Olivier and Alan, everybody who contributed, everybody who takes time to read the plan. You know, people, everybody in this community works really hard. Staff members work really hard to write things. The community works hard to read things and provide input and provide their own writings. And we want to make sure the iteration continues so the documents continue to improve. So anyway, thanks for your efforts in the past and in advance for the future.
Thank you both for joining us. And Heidi?
Yeah, thank you very much, Kurt. Just a comment. For those of you who would like to add your comments following today for the at-large contribution to the strategic plan, there is a link to our workspace on that. It's up in the Adobe Connect chat. So please do take a look at that. There are two comments there already, but we definitely need to hear from you. Thanks.
Right, while we're setting up and doing the dancing chairs routine, or is it dancing? No, missing chairs, is it? Dancing chairs, whichever. Musical chairs routine, there you go, without the music. Our next two visitors are Carol Cornell, who's going to remain with us, but also Roman Pelik, who is the Senior Director of IT Services, and they are both going to speak to us about the Confluence Wiki Review, that fantastic system which we seem to be the guinea pigs for. So let's find out some more about this. Whilst we are setting up the technology, may I just remind everyone that on the list which is currently on the wall for us to be able to sign up to go and see and report on meetings taking place outside of At Large, there are other days than Monday. I've seen a lot of people very eager to go places on Monday, but then from Tuesday onwards, it's a little bit empty. I'm sure it will fill itself up as time goes. But that will remain on the wall during our length, or during the whole week, so we can fill it up as time goes on. And Heidi has raised a threat, which is that otherwise she will fill it up for everyone. We will be allocated. Think of the worst of those sessions in there being allocated to you. You might want to avoid that. Right, okay. Well, before we actually start and let give the floor over to Carol and Roman, how many people in the room are actually or have actually used the Confluence Wiki so far? If you can raise your hand, please. So, oh, we've even got people using it right now. So we've got about half of the room who has a bit more than half. Oh, and all the staff has, so that's great. That's a good news.
Just could I ask those, I'm really interested in this, those that are not using it on a regular basis, why is that, just before we get started? Is it because you're just not familiar with it or just don't have the time yet? Andreas, I see you didn't raise your hand. So, Sylvia, go ahead.
Yeah, I try to use it, but I have a lot of problems to access. But I try to do is to use it, I think, twice or more than twice.
Okay, so Sylvia has an access problem. Those that are not using it, is it also due to access? Okay. So Darlene, also access. You're not logging
access,
in.
Access, yeah, it's not letting me in. but also it's just, as you said, lack of use being used to using
okay.
it.
It is so. Really quite easy. I'm really surprised at how quickly we got it. And if we can do it, you can do it, definitely. But we will sort this out. Roman, are you able to give login details? Not now,
correct.
But after this meeting.
Yeah, correct. We'll address some of those issues.
Sorry.
Yeah, we will be able to address those issues definitely after the meeting. We have a couple of sessions. During this meeting, open hours where we can definitely handle that.
Andres, you have a question?
No, go ahead.
Okay.
It was about the Adobe Connect and other stuff, but not Wiki, so I won't do it. I won't say it.
If we have time, perhaps we will sort of get to it afterwards, but we'll see. Right. Well, whilst NIC goes to the mic, Evan?
I just want to make the point, as somebody who uses it heavily now and absolutely hated it a couple of years ago, I'll simply say that Wiki is a certain way of doing computing that certain people gravitate to, but not everybody is very comfortable with it. It requires a certain kind of mindset. In shared editing, some people are comfortable with it. Some people are much more comfortable with it, with the concept of, well, I'll edit this document, and you edit it, and then you send it back to me, and then I'll edit, and I'll send it back to you. Although it sounds really cumbersome, and for somebody who likes a wiki, it sounds absolutely inefficient, but for some people, it's simply a more comfortable way of working. And I don't think it's a matter of good or bad or otherwise. It's simply that I think some people are far less comfortable with using a wiki than with other ways of doing this kind of thing.
Yeah, so I'll address that in a little bit as well. Part of it, we try to encourage that it's not the only option. It's a option that we would like to make available, and for the sake of the information being available centrally to everyone, whatever the final documents are, we would like them to be on the wiki for the broader community to consume. So that's the goal. So we're gonna start. Carol is gonna do some background.
Sorry, Roman. We had one more question from Annalisa.
Yeah, I remember getting a little bit of training on the wiki in Brussels, and when somebody walked over and put me right in there, I thought it was super easy and intuitive, and it kind of looked like a Word doc, and I thought it was great. I've never been able to find that place by myself. It's like a door that is, I don't know where it is, but if I could be in the room, I'm not scared of it. I think it's great. I just can't find that door. I don't know what the answer is. I bookmark things. I don't know. And the other thing is, I do notice that, I'm trying hard to participate in the ALAC thing, but there's a lot of documents and cross-references and things, and there's different programs being used, Google Docs or Wiki Pages or old Wiki things or whatever. And there's all these logins that stop you along the way. And for somebody like me who's not focusing on the technical, although I can handle that stuff, I'm actually focusing on the ideas and the content or what I want to do or say. There's all these roadblocks, and then I kind of run out of time. And so I sort of disappear a lot. And I don't know if other people have that, but I can't really follow through unless there's just a smooth, easy transition where it just works. So it'd be nice to have maybe a menu that just had all the stuff, and there was one place I could go, and I could find all the missing info.
Okay, it's in the chat room right now. So
okay.
Again, we've set this up, the at-large wiki up, so you do not need a login to actually access it. Everyone should be able to access that.
Okay,
link.
So it's just one link that
go
is
ahead,
somewhere?
Yeah, click on the one that's in the at-large chat room now. And again,
okay.
You don't need to log in to read them. But let's go ahead and begin.
Okay.
And one more question. Andres?
Yeah, I was going to say the same because before Heidi pointed that it was in chat room, someone who is participating remotely sent me at Skype. Do you have the address or the URL of the wiki? And I couldn't find it. And I searched it in Google, and it's not even, I searched I cannot large wiki, and it's not even in the top 10 results. So it was like quite useful to get the address quickly from the chat room. But for someone who is not so involved or who doesn't have that in the emails or whatever, could be like a little hard to catch up.
Is the social text wiki on there? Because if it does come up, then perhaps there would be a good idea to have on the first page of the social text wiki where everything has moved to. Just say, this has now moved to community.icann.org.
Okay, very good idea, Olivier. We can do that.
No,
well,
it's not even the... Sorry, Heidi.
As well as we'll make it prevalent on our at-large website, too. And perhaps that was a mistake.
Okay, all right. One last one from Eric.
Thank you, Olivier. 3 years ago, I joined a company as its CTO, and I encountered the mantra, put it on the wiki. That was a real shock for me, and I've been working with text and a variety of editors for a long time. So the comments that were made just recently by another speaker about that some users have a preference for document exchange as opposed to a shared workspace, realistically, we have to grasp that users have different modes of interactions, and some will adopt the wiki model without much resistance. Others will find that the creation of namespaces in wikis is antithetical to their preference or their history of using time as an organizing principle, which is basically how blogging works. So anyone who blogs lives on time. Anyone who does wikis lives on keywords. So I don't think one size is going to fit all. And the disparity of mechanisms that are used and the necessity of linking them together, which is the point which was just recently made, is one that we have to address. Putting things on the social text, on the outgoing, that's an excellent idea. But I think we would also be useful to have mail a clue. So if you don't know, send email to this address, and you will get back a canned answer which contains the links to the clue that you actually do need. And so... if you don't have it on your device, if you don't have it on your machine, if you don't have it printed in front of you, you can at least mail to, you know, send me a clue. And that's at your end, of course. And you generate an automatic bounce with a canned response. Thank you.
Sure. This is one of the things we can definitely take into consideration. And working with Heidi, essentially, ensure that the accessibility and easy access to the content is definitely available. So let me jump into the PowerPoint, and we'll go through. We won't take too much time because I like this discussion and I want to get that feedback, because that's what will help us to make the tool usable for different groups and different styles. And we understand that it's not a silver bullet that that will cover every single possible use, and people will adopt the tool however they feel more comfortable. The reason why we're trying to set up some structure behind it is that there is some organization that if you come to look for information, you are able to find it. You know where to look. You have an idea where. It will take time, but... it will essentially give you an ability through the time to be able to navigate through the data and the content fairly easy. There is a ability to search the data. There is ability to do keywords. There is ability to structure the data in the folder formats, as most of the people for the last 10 years are used to on their machines. So there is a different ways of organizing the data and getting access to the data. And through the training and the help, we'll try to ensure that you guys have access that is needed for you to get to it. So, Carol will start with the things we're going to cover today really quickly, and then we'll open the discussion back up. We'll go through through some of the review. So we're going to start off with. Some of the background information, how this project started, and where we at right now, and we'll go to the discussion after that. So.
Just a quick reminder of kind of where are we today. You know, we started this and announced that we were going to start moving from social text to Confluence back pretty much in Brussels is when we did that in terms of timing. And we also explained that we had hoped that we would do this implementation and that the at-large group would be the first ones to take all of their content and move it from the social text wiki to this new wiki to help make it a better tool for everybody. So that tells you we've been at it now probably 5 months, you know, overall. And I want to say that thank you for being so patient and letting us switch it over. We've learned a lot of things in the process, but obviously there's been some learning curve on everybody's part, and we just wanted to say thank you for doing that. One of the things that I would also say is we're not done yet, and it's really important to know we will continue to work with everyone's requests to try to make this a very good tool for everyone, as a good resource for you, not just now, but as you go forward in the future, so it is a tool that everyone will use. One of the advantages was, as Roman and you guys have talked about, this whole ability to search for information, the fact that it has a few extra features from social text. It does have permissions, which is sometimes a good and a bad, but it does allow you to have a private workspace if you need it, as well as distributed everything depending on your needs, so you can customize it to meet everyone's needs. It does, from an operating perspective, cost less to use this particular wiki than what we had before, so we're spending less on the actual hardware, but there's still some enhancements we want to, so we hope that's a good cross balance in terms of cost and operating. And then the other is it does allow you to be able to put different documents, different types of material out there, whereas before you had limited capability on the other wiki. So the reason I mention those is this is, I know, a little bit difficult, but I think they're the benefits. As we continue to progress, you'll find that it's a better tool for everyone going forward. So that would what I'll say. The other part is you have actually, and we will talk about some of the progress made, which I'm going to pass over to Roman so we can hit some of the highlights of the progress we've actually done so far. But as I said, and I'd like to reiterate, thank you for being patient while we switch it over. But there is still more work to be done, so we'd like to hear your input as we go. And I'll pass this now over back to Roman. Thank you.
Sorry. So where do we stand today? We've done a lot of work of gathering the content that was essentially in the social text. It was somewhat disorganized in the flat system. We went through a number of workspaces. We did a lot of consolidation and cleanup. We migrated all the data and relink it to where possible. Either back to the social text, because some of the other work groups are still utilizing the social text. As you guys are aware, you're one of the first ones to be migrated and transitioned. So where do what has been completed? All the data has been migrated. The workspaces for all the working groups, as they've been identified, have been created. There have been created the gateway pages, which enables you, once you're on the wiki, enables you to get to things faster, especially to the things that you're working on now. So, and that space will be, that area will be updated constantly, so you don't have to search through the things to what are the current areas that you're working on. We did some cleanup on the color designations, where each of the RALO groups have their designation, have their workspaces designated to them, so you can easily identify which workspace you're in. We moved the RSS feed from the at-large website, which essentially brings all the ICANN news directly on that wiki as well. So you don't have to go to two different places to search for the data. So the in a couple of minutes, I'll kind of do dry quick run through of what the workspaces look like, and I'll jump into that right now. So hopefully you guys can see. So the website is community.ican.org. It's open to everyone. Let me see if I can. Zoom out. So from the context, at large community has a specific tab. So the website is community.ican.org. There is a number of workspaces that are located. They're all listed here. The main workspace is ALAC, and that's essentially what your gateway is going to be. Through this gateway, you will be able to access apologies, I'm running not on my machine, so this is the gateways I was talking about. This is a quick link set to some of the at large. So some of the things you guys working on, for example, the first link is at large work improvement workspace. I know it's hard to read on the projector, so I'll read it out loud. At large accountability and transparency review team. So those are the things that are the key areas that you can get access to it. We'll ensure that you guys get to this real quickly. We'll publish this on the existing at-large workspace. Heidi will make sure we email that again over to the mailing list to ensure that everybody has access and are able to bookmark this. So on the bottom left, you essentially have the structure of all of the content that has been migrated into the from the social text. It has been reorganized and restructured. All the links have been, as far as we can go through, fixed. If you find anything, please feel free to send the email to Heidi or reach out to us to for us to correct it. It's fairly easy to do. We just because of amount of the content, we are not always able to find every single piece. So the news. From the ICANN website are right here. This is access to the calendar, which gives you an ability to look at the events coming up. That's essentially your main interface. As you get a little bit more familiar, there is a toolbar at the top where you are able to navigate through different pages. Sorry. Yeah. So you're able to browse through different pages. There's tools available to add attachments. As you get more familiar with it and have an ability to do edit, not only consume the content but also be able to add and. Right. So at the top, at the corner top, there is a search tool. If you're looking for something and can't find it where it is, where it's located, use the search functionality. It will get you to the area where you need to go. So, I already mentioned the some of the open issues that we have. We still have some broken links. We did due diligence with the limited number of staff that we have. Go through and fix all of them. As I said, if you find anything, please feel free to let us know, and we'll help fix it, or we'll teach you how to fix it. This is your workspace. You need to feel comfortable using it, and we're here to help you doing that.
You might mention how many thousands of links, because so people understand.
So there is over 1,500 documents on the entire workspace, across all the workspaces. Each document can maintain between 5 and 10 links. So you can imagine the scale of number of links that are available in there. During the migration, we did the best effort we could with the resources we have to ensure that all the links are fixed. We utilized the automated tools to find them, and we fixed everything we found. Some of the issues and links could be caused because of the access control, because the new tool provides an ability to restrict certain areas. We are actually, in the last couple of weeks, been in the process of assigning the username and permissions and the right access. The access to certain pages might have been restricted, pun intended. So we're happy to definitely fix that. So moving on, a couple of things that we've heard from the through Heidi of what you guys are looking for. One of the areas where you guys were looking to create spaces for the regional basis, and essentially establishing the workspaces for the region, for each individual regions. And I wanted to have a little bit more discussion on what the requirements, what do you guys want to accomplish with that. It will be extensive. My understanding, it's over 120.
129, right?
Yeah, 129 at-large structures. And creating that many workspaces adds into the content and becomes less searchable and... where do I go? It doesn't address that issue of where do I go and find the content. So I wanted to kind of sense the idea of what you were trying to accomplish. Maybe we can discuss how we can factor that into some of the existing workspaces we have, or organize it in a little bit more consolidated way, other than creating 129 workspaces and just let it be spent free in the community. And also, is there anything else you guys are looking for that we haven't thought of, or we haven't talked about? There is a number of capabilities available within the system. I understand it's a learning curve for both for you and for us. You give us a challenge, we'll try to make sure we'll look at what the solution might be. So,
I was just curious if this will be available in other languages at some point.
Darlene, you will be hit on the head in a moment. You may speak.
Translation, other languages. Will there be?
So the wiki does support other languages, we probably would want to understand how would you want to structure it. So so the content is somewhat organized, that you don't have Spanish in between English, and the pages are somewhat in the same language. So the language segregation should be done. We're open to that because the wiki does support it.
There are some challenges on the right to left scripts, but there was ways around it. So,
but it is not an immediate future.
Georgia?
Darlene, just to follow up, are you referring to, in the near term, basically French and Spanish editions, or are you talking...
Absolutely, okay, yeah,
so
in the near term, French and
Spanish.
We wouldn't
need right to left, we just need right now French and Spanish.
Yeah, so it's a Latin-based script that has no...
Sorry, the first question was for Georges, and then... Eric afterwards.
Sergio.
I wanted to make a comment. I'm going to speak in Spanish. I apologize. I would like to reflect on my experience with the wiki. Particularly, my work is I am a web developer, and I find it very difficult to interact with this. And what I wonder is that, well, we have created a 2.0 web page with the possibility to create internal communities and generate collaborative document development within the parties, and I was thinking that maybe it would be a lot simpler for all of us, even for the end user. Even though we are working on this, and probably in a short time we will be able to use this and to take advantage of this, very probably the user who's not used to this, when we are not there to help him in the user, that user will be outside of it. That's why my question is, what is the possibility to migrate in the future to a standard web page so that we can have an interaction in between all of us? Thank you.
Let me address this. Part of the challenge is that this gives you a framework. The wiki gives you a framework to do both. As a developer, you actually will be able to do a lot more than a typical user that is capable of doing Word documents or whatnot. The beauty of this framework is gives accessibility for people who don't have the technical background. It gives an ability to edit the documents in the rich text format, and for the developer, it gives an ability to do editing in the wiki markup language, which also supports a number of macros, including the HTML macro that you will be able to essentially embed other pages and use iframes and embed other things. One of the things we have, as a more technical person, I would encourage you, we're going to have two sessions for the remaining of the week. I believe I have the dates in the slide. We'll get back to it. It's actually on the next slide. It's on Tuesday and Thursday, and I encourage you to come over, and I can share some of the things we've done with the wiki, where it required a little bit more technical skills, but it also still gave an ability for some of the basic users to be able to contribute and interact with the content easier than as a developer using some of the development tools. Hopefully that answers your question.
Eric, you have the floor.
Thank you, Olivier. I believe I heard a misunderstanding between two persons, one speaking possibly to the localization of the application and the other one speaking to the character set in which the content might be organized. I don't think those are actually the same issues, and so I was hoping that you understood each other. It appears to me, looking at the application, that there are localizations already into French, German, and Spanish. I believe that takes care of the interest that was expressed. Um, I'm interested in the support for disconnected operations. I'll just give you a laundry list, if I might. How to import from MediaWiki. Want to be able to generate PDFs, docs, and HTML, which I believe it supports all three as generated output, but I wanted to stick that in. The Jira ticketing system is also from the same vendor, and I've used both its wiki product and its tracking product, and there might be some use for using Jira as well for ticketing within the ALAC, that is for task management. Mm-hmm. Although Track is another alternative and it's also free. But I'm really curious about the scaling limitations that you hinted at. That is that creating 100 and some odd workspaces constituted some kind of a performance issue or caused you some concern as a system operator. So at your leisure, any of those things. Thank you.
Sure. So to address the basic things, you can create the content in the HTML. You can export the content in both XML, HTML, and the PDF. Import is available. There is a universal import functionality. It's not going to be available to the end users. But if there is a content, that's the universal import is what we use to migrate all the social text content. The use of Jira is definitely something that we use internally for a number of other things within the organization, including the bug tracking and for some of our internal development. It's a new requirement, and we'll be glad to look into it. It does have a fairly good integration with the wiki, and ability to present some of the tasks and assignments and everything else. To address the scalability of the workspaces, the challenge we've seen with the social text is a notion of a space sprawl. A lot of content, a lot of workspaces that nobody owns, nobody knows where the content is, and that's the concern. It's not the underlying system capability or the scalability issue per se. We can scale the application putting on the number of multiple servers. I don't see that as an issue. There's ways to deal with that. Currently, just for some of the technical folks, it's actually running in the virtual machine. We can add more resources. We can scale that in the physical hardware if required. So it's not the scalability of the application. It's a usability. It becomes a usability problem where you have an unorganized closet without knowing where things are.
If I may, I think that phenomenon is actually quite common to all the wiki models, is that there's abandoned pages, forgotten information, and orphaned pages. But I'm still asking about the disconnected operation, because without the ability to do disconnected operation, we're telling the users who are in low bandwidth locations, which is how I spent most of the last 5 years, that they are SOL. And that email really is the best way that they have of communicating meaningfully with other persons. So if we can do standalone operations, and I'm downloading it to this machine right now, then if editing can be done on a disconnected platform and then imported through the universal import, then we have a mechanism for users to create content without actually being simultaneously connected to the servers in Marina Del Rey, which I think is not the general case for about, 9/10 of the world's population.
So. Sure. So let me address that in two ways. So I'll address the disconnected operation. One of the features that Confluence provides is ability to import Word documents and create the pages right directly out of them. So that means that the pages can be essentially created out of the Word documents. That provides an ability for people to download the Word document, do the editing, and email it back, and for have either support staff or somebody to essentially attach it back to the page, which will replace the Word document and therefore also create the versioning behind that. So that's one of the aspects. Access to the pages that are not in the Word document and actually created as a wiki markup language or content, unfortunately, that content will have to be created online first in the way of exporting as a PDF, for example, which you can do, creating essentially a local copy of the entire content, whether it's a space or a page or whatever the content might be. Based on that, you are able to access the information. You would still have to create the content in a Word document or OpenOffice or one of the supported Word formats that the wiki can import. Now, on the low bandwidth connection, one of the features we actually installed on the wiki is the mobile theming, which allows you to access the wiki on the mobile phones, PDAs, local devices. It still requires the data connection. It could be a good reference, but it's not good for content editing. It's more for consuming the data rather than creating the data.
Thank you.
Does that answer your question?
Thank you, Roman, and thank you, Eric. I think Eric's questions and comments are another living example of the amount of knowledge there is in-house and at large. And I must say that although I'm a technologist, I was a little bit lost along some of the way in there, but definitely it's good to have local experts on this. Any other questions from Dev?
Thank you, Chair. Two questions, actually, and probably a clarification. Regarding the ELS pages, it wasn't really considered, well, from LacRoller's perspective, it wasn't really considered to be actual separate workspaces for the ELS to create, like, entire content. It was more considered like a sort of like a directory of the ELSs. So you have, like, a page for each one. So I was thinking it would be more of a, not workspaces, the sub-pages, child pages, underneath ELSs in LacRoller, and then you have a page for every single ELS so that, you know, everybody could see, you know, so it's like a directory.
So the way we structure the main ALAX workspace, essentially has all the structure in the directory where all the ALCs, RALOs, can be accessed. The reason why we create a separate workspace for the RALOs is because some of the editing rights can be easier configured on the per workspace basis rather than page restriction basis. So that was part of the reason. From the navigation perspective, it's not any different. You don't get a different user experience. You still are able to navigate as a link from one place to another. It's a natural linking from one place to another. So you don't have to go to the base workspace. The benefit it provides you, as I mentioned, it gives you ability to define a little bit better access controls. It gives you ability to do favorites pages where if you're working 99% time with LacRoller, for example, you're able to access that space directly without having to go through the main ALAC workspace. So those are some benefits, and they could be viewed either way as a benefit or a downside. But those are the things we considered, and when we reorganized and restructured some of the content.
Second question, and I guess maybe perhaps I missed it when I was looking at something here. One of the peeves of with the Confluence Wiki is the What happens is that when you open links, it opens it in the same window, and not in a new tab or a separate window. And, you know, it gets tedious because, especially if you're following an agenda, you click forward, and then you realize you've lost the agenda. You've got to click back. And is there a way to make that a default to have links open up in new tabs or windows?
So the new tabs are not supported yet by the browser. It's actually browser specific. The new windows, we could go and rewrite and add some JavaScript to force it into the new windows. I think it's more of a user preference of how they would like to work. Yeah, I see where you're coming from. It might not be native, but 99% of the websites, that's how they work. You don't force the... it's not up to the developer usually to force somebody into a new window or a new tab. It's actually user controlled. If I want to open the content in the new tab, I can do that either through control button or through the Apple button on the Mac, just to force whatever the link is into the new tab or window, however I want. So, although it... The challenge we have is if we do all the links to open the new window, somebody is not going to like that. On the other hand, somebody else likes that it opens in the same window. So we're kind of in somewhat in the middle of it. So by default, we would open them open up in the same window, unless you guys have a specific items that you would like us to make sure that specific items like agendas or external links, for example, back to some of the social text links that they open externally. And we can undertake the effort to go through those and make sure that those open up in the new window. But any navigation within the wiki, it makes sense, like any other website, to have internal navigation within the same window.
I'll just recognize myself.
no, Cheryl, you cannot. Oh, I could hit you now. You're close enough. All right, Cheryl.
Thank you. Roman, a couple of points there. I missed the very beginning, but you do remember meeting me in a bus one day. Great.
Sure.
I'd say it's okay. Just as long as we know each other, that's fine. What were you saying, that they need to be global replacements and they can't just be done within our space on the Confluence Wiki, just so I understand what you're saying?
So what I was saying is that the opening in the new tab is not supported by the technology. The opening in the new window is. Mm-hmm. Because we have thousands and thousands of links, it's a lot of effort to go through and replace every single one. And a lot of that has to do with user preference. Not every user likes to open them.
Well, I can speak on behalf of our community. User preference be buggered. Give me their names and I'll deal with them, because we will be opening in new windows. Now, if it can be a global replacement, that's obviously easier. If there's a huge technical impediment, then obviously we need to talk and we need to cherry pick what we want, and we can give you those lists. But user preference, they don't have any. We do. And we're saying new window.
Okay. So to address that, the challenge is, as there's thousands of links, it's a big effort to undertake, to go and replace every link. Going forward, we can make a decision that going forward we'll start doing that, mm-hmm. to make sure your new agendas and whatever that is open the new window. There's a little bit of scripting required, so it's not necessarily complicated. Once you do it once or twice, you'll get the hang of it. There's going to be its own downsides to that,
mm-hmm.
Meaning that you'll have a window open on top of the window. It's not going to be a new tab of the same browser, so it will actually overlay. So you will have to switch between the windows.
Yeah, to shortcut on this, because certainly the usability issues we've discussed at some length, one of the things that we can do to make the rollout task easier is give you clear guidelines on what bits we need to have in that capacity first. And it usually is agendas and things that link off agendas. And you actually find, particularly for those of us who are managing the meetings, but also for those of us who are trying to manage the chat spaces, the Adobe Connect room, and have up to 7 or 8 things open, and we're cross-referencing and referring, sure. You see where we're coming from
on this.
I know
exactly
okay.
Where you're coming from.
Yeah, there are some people who literally have 2 and 3 screens lined up to manage this. So
I actually encourage you to look at our master control of what we do for the ICANN meeting.
So we can make it easier to make it happen, and if we can then get it planned that in future these things go out. We don't want to make your life a misery, but at the moment the system's making ours one, so it's only fair.
As I said, we're reasonable people, and we want to make sure.
Have to be reasonable people. That's okay. We can work with unreasonable people. That's sure. Not a problem.
So we want to make sure we accommodate, you guys are doing volunteer work that we appreciate, that the community at large appreciates. And I think to make your life easier, we'll definitely undertake that effort. But we want to make sure that it's reasonable within our resources that we have that we do that. So going forward, we can make sure that the specific items that we go through that will open in the same window. What I was trying to refer, some of the internal links, like links from within the workspaces to each other or within the pages, it just doesn't make sense for some of those things to link to. Every time you click, it opens in a new window.
We'll have to have a look, more to the point. I mean, have to have a look here at how we are setting up our agendas, because we actually have a lot of things that click out of a page. It may be a matter of the way we work, which we're not going to change. So it might be that there's a normal expectation of how someone using a page in a wiki world would like to run.
Correct.
And it might be our idiosyncrasies, and you may never see it in another part of ICANN, and that'll just be easy for you. You did mention scripting, and I was desperately looking around for Fayud, who obviously... who I will deal with later. If Fayud was here, and he will regret deeply that he is not, because it is something I believe he has the skill set to be discussing, it was when you mentioned scripts, I was wondering, is it something that we can empower at least higher-end users in our regions to be able to operate? For example, I know that Fayud is a fairly high power user. Thank you for joining us, Fayud. We will still talk later. We will still have a little chat. But with the scripting, if it's something that if you have someone at a trusted level, they can help people do, we can also work together on
this.
It's
your workspaces.
Great.
And,
okay, good.
You guys are welcome to do... We want to make sure that we have the right level of access to make sure that people have...
You got a project. You leave the room, you get a project. Now, because you've left the room, you've got 3, okay? I'll let you know later.
There's an important thing that I was thinking, actually. Look, there's a certain amount of information that still has to go in or is being put in. So from one perspective, when you have all the information in the system, then it's much more easier to customize it to the user needs, right? So that's one area I'm waiting for to get to that stage where we can start that customization process. And I think what we did in the BCEC was a good example. That once the information was there, we could structure it into how we needed it. Okay, Roman and Navid had to go the extra mile to get that done. But still, I see that as a really high impact thing happening.
It's much easier once you have the content and you truly look at the content, organizing it in a meaningful way is much easier than doing that in the abstract. And I can tell you from the experience that we went through is, although we did it on paper, by the time from the paper to the end product, it doesn't look anything like it was originally on paper. We did changes and shuffles and restructuring, and including a lot of rework of some of the things that we made initial decisions on that we end up changing later on. And that's the nature of this process, and it's a living and breathing things. And today's requirements might not be the same as tomorrow's requirements and might not be the requirements that you need the day after tomorrow. So, and these are the things that will happen, and that's why from the technology perspective, we're there to support you guys, to help you guys achieve what you're looking for. So,
That's greatly appreciated, and I think one of the other things we're very pleased about is your choices in giving us this particular tool, where we know there's plugins, there's things we can develop. Quite literally, amongst the skill set out there, we have people who can develop this stuff. I'm not chairing, so you have to ask the chair to recognize this.
First, we have Eric, who's been patiently waiting. He does have a comment on the technology side.
Thank you, Chair. Earlier, I mentioned that I spent 5 years living disconnected behind a trailer, dragging around a VSAT and keeping my technical operation in Maine running from wherever I was. While what I didn't admit was a very low, high latency, low bandwidth link, which resembles a lot of the world. So my comment is as follows. The restriction to MS Word import-export with ICANN staff manual assistance to import, putting content, updating content on the ALAC wiki, are unfortunate design choices. The best answer would be if content is created on any of MediaWiki, blah, 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 wiki, Confluence, and that an export from that can be imported to the ALAC wiki and as easily as editing the ALAC wiki directly at the cost of being, of course, connected to the Marina Del Rey server, which I've always found difficult when using a VSAT link, high latency, low bandwidth, which is the common situation for rural North Americans and for both rural and urban users in most of the world outside of North America, Western Europe, Korea, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand. Thank you very much.
Sure. Let me address that. Are there capabilities of importing, and can we look at something specifically to address that? Of course we can. It's at the end of the day, it's ability to import the text and create that into a page. As an example, one of the underlying efforts within the organization that we have, specifically on the wiki, not only for the community but also for internal, is ability to create the pages via email. That's not something that is supported right out of the box, but there is an APIs available that there is certain plugins that have been written to facilitate some of that, and those are the areas that we already know and we're looking at to address some of our other areas, things like public comments, for example, that we have for the rest of the organization. So we as a larger strategy, we're looking at. I know Kurt mentioned redesigning the website. The community interaction overall as a goal, as a strategic goal, we want to incorporate the ability of the community to generate the content, to work on the content directly. Not necessarily that it has to go from one place to another, to rely on somebody else to ensure that the content gets somewhere. It's ability for the community to go in and work efficiently and be able to populate that content. And we recognize, unlike a lot of other organizations that depend on high availability bandwidth, good connectivity, we know we have people in Africa working on the cell phones. We have staff that we are supporting that's seeding that issue. Remember, we're also running the staff wiki. We're using exactly the same technology. The reason why we're working on the same technology, we're hitting the same exact issues you guys hit as a community. So we're encouraged, even ourselves, for internal operations to solve those issues, because we have staff that is not capable to be effective in what they do if they don't have access to the information in the same way. So
right now the queue is Darlene, Sergio, and then Fuad. So Darlene first.
just really quick, Cheryl, on what you're saying about opening in a new window or opening in a new tab. I found I've been playing with them, and I've just been right-clicking on them saying open a new tab or open a new window, and it's like that, no problem at all. So it's already there if you choose to use it.
Right, and that's one of the things I mentioned, that as a user preference without any work, you can always do that, and it's just some of it is just a training issue. You can right-click and click on the new link, or you can hold the control key.
Our iPad users are having problems. Our mobile users are having problems. It's not quite as simple as right-clicking. So, but, yeah, anyone who wants to do tabs still can, yeah.
Right.
Sergio?
Solo una pregunta
Just a question.
Perdón.
No worries.
Solo una pregunta.
Just a question. Under what language has the wiki been made? What is the language that you have used? The programming language. It's a Java. Yeah, Java.
There is a plugin development kit available for the Confluence, and it's not only covers the Confluence product, but it also covers Jira, so the plugins could be developed at the it's the same platform to develop the plugins for both Jira, for example, and for Confluence. The Atlassian is the company that makes the tools. They have a wide variety of other tools for software developers, and that's how they essentially started. It was tools for software developers, and they kind of moved into the wiki because that's what the developer has been accustomed to.
Fuad?
Just a few comments in support of the wiki, as well as to add up to what Roman is saying. I've already said that I come from Pakistan, and Pakistan really hasn't had such a good bandwidth. And we were working on Confluence like 4 years ago. So that was a time, and we were working in a complex environment and over really low bandwidth. Number one thing. Number two thing, Confluence, and as you mentioned, Atlassian is an Australian company, and it was developing open source. It was developing the Confluence in Jira as part of an open source support activity, right? Building up their own system and then actually releasing it to the community, because that's how it got built in the first place. And if you look at this, the specs of how open source software is developed, you'll be amazed that a great amount of developers of Confluence come from the developing world. So the system has actually been somehow to a certain level optimized to actually work on low bandwidth, because I've seen that in action. I've implemented that. The third thing was, how does this suit our environment? I was in a very bad internet bandwidth situation when the BCEC was working, and we had that complex task of going through all the SOIs and then also scoring the SOIs, and then with each question of the SOI that was scored, the page used to reload itself, right? So that all added up, and I did a calculation back then, and I informed that this is the exact amount of time I'm going to take this week to complete this process, right? And we did it, right? So I don't think that it's just like with any other technology, that it's going to take time for people to adapt to it. I don't say that I'm okay myself with using an interface which I've made. But then my learning curve is like any other user, that I have to learn how that environment is working. So this is an adaptable environment. It will take time, but I can assure you one thing. From my experience with its implementations in like 4 nonprofits, this is a very productive tool that we have, and we will see its impact, say, in like 1 or 2 years. That was a good choice that we went this way. And yes, there are like tons of opportunities for adding the ability to access it through mobile phones and making it much lighter. But once we have to get the information in there, have to get the people hooked on to it. And once that has been done, there are ways to make it more lighter. Thank you.
Thank you, Fawad. Any other questions? Anyone so far? No, we're reaching the ending time. I do have one question or one comment actually to make. I understand that some of the work that you're doing is actually looking for any of the orphan pages in the Confluence Wiki. There is one thing which I did notice for some content which actually interfaces outside and back into the Confluence Wiki, such as, for example, the at-large summit. It actually sends you over to the ALAC pages or the at-large pages, www.atlarge.icann.org. But then it's impossible to go back to the Confluence because it actually points to st.icann.org. So I'm not sure whether you've found a way to also update those links on the ALAC or at-large website, because I think that is required.
Yeah, so to address that, the linking, overall linking effort is definitely not complete. As you understand, you're one of the first constituencies to move off of the social text. So our plan is to move the rest of the constituencies over first, and then we hit all the website, because we have to make an update on all the websites across the ICANN to make sure that they're referring back to appropriate Confluence pages. So we need to make sure that that the content is available 100%. All of the content is available in Confluence, because otherwise we're going to be in the position where we're going to be updating ALAC content links that pointing to Confluence, but some of the links will still have to be pointing to social text because they refer to GNSO or any other areas. So what we want to make sure we want to move all the content, everything off of social text before we undertake the linking off of all the external websites. And then at a certain point, we'll essentially have a reference on the social text saying, the social texts have been discontinued, and it will redirect people to the Confluence. So that's our game plan for that.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Roman. I gather if there are any more questions or any comments, is there any way for people here to be able to get in touch with you, or what is the process?
Yeah, so during the week, we're going to have two more sessions. The schedule is outside. The schedule is actually on the slide right now. It's on Tuesday between 10 and 12. It's open hours, so you're welcome to come and ask questions. And it's right next door. It's behind this wall. Some of the more technical people, you're welcome to come and chat a little bit more in details. I actually encourage that. And with anybody else who has a question or has a login problem, I'll be able to take that information and make sure we get back to you after the meeting with the proper access. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Carol Cornell. Thank you very much, Roman Pelik. I think it's been a very productive hour that we've spent with regards to the wiki and to Confluence. And I hope that all the people who have not used it so far will. And if they need to get familiarity for it, they will come to those sessions which you just mentioned now. You might hear some noise outside. In fact, it is the fellowship party, which is just started, which was supposed to be quite funny and quite enjoyable with drinks, etc. I guess that we should all be going there, because this certainly is a fantastic reservoir of new faces whom we could actually bring into this room and give work to, which is something which means if you give it to someone else, you don't need to do it yourself. So go out there and befriend those people, hunt for them, should I say. Evan, you wanted to add something?
Yes. As of about 30 seconds ago, the drafting team has finished the draft ATRT response document. And so please, as Cheryl had mentioned at the beginning of the day, please, everybody wait for your email. It will come from Heidi to the announce list. Please look for it. Go to it. I believe the latest draft will be draft number 6. That has been gone over through everybody on the drafting team. Please look at it. It needs to go in before 8 a.m. tomorrow morning, which means if you don't speak about it overnight, then nothing gets changed.
Thank you very much.
Just as an addendum on that, I've asked Kieran, who has spent the evening, and of course he's an ALS member, isn't he? San Francisco Bay at Large Structure. So Kieran said he spent the time we were having our 90-minute session with the board making notes and wondered how it could be input to our ATRT process. As I said, well, as an ALS member, you send it to Heidi, who'll get it to the team who are drafting it overnight. So you will get some additional words of wisdom to at least work with if you want them, okay? Okay, so that, I thought I'd capture what was going by at the time.
Thank you. Well, that's excellent news, Evan. Thanks very much for bringing that in. One last thing with regards to the conference wiki. I did mention at the beginning of the meeting that we were the guinea pigs, and I realized that it's actually a good thing to be the guinea pigs, because what we'll end up with is being ahead of everyone else, in knowing this, as usual. So well done, at large. I only have one more thing to do before we all go and get absolutely drunk at the party next door, is to actually thank the interpreters for their first day. It has been very hard for them. New terms, new everything. Merci beaucoup. Gracias. And hopefully they will not leave us before the end of the week. So be nice to them. Thank you very much and enjoy yourself tonight. See you tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.
Thank you, guys.